This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
I wipe my ass with this game. Seriously, this and launch it into orbit. What is the point anymore? There is no point. You can plan, you can build spreadsheets, you can spend hours poring through the stats, but all it really comes down to is whether or not you buy John Stones, some disc centre back who's been shit as for years, and now all of a sudden starts p***ing goals for fun. The satanic demon that won't f*** off, a wild rampaging dead put on this earth to eviscerate my f***s on a weekly basis, a stratospheric super of unparalleled fecal force. Seriously, John, just f*** off now. Just crawl back into whatever you've been residing in for the last few years and leave me in peace. I've suffered enough. Welcome to Triple Captain.
We probably should point out that's not the thoughts of Triple Captain. That was a tweet that we found after game week 28.
Yes, there's more to that. I didn't read the whole thing. That was at Randy Shafter on Twitter, who gave us all a huge laugh this week with his series of tweets about FPL.
Anyway, Twitter aside, so we are Triple Captain. My name's Rich Wolfenden, TalkSport commentator, Radio X presenter, and slipper down the FPL tables. It's not been a good few weeks for me. I feel like I've really taken my eye off the ball. And I think this game week that's coming has weighed on my mind a little bit too much in terms of the transfer activities that's been taking place in my team. So hopefully this finally is the game week where these weird transfers pay off. But I am, as always, joined by our very sweary co-host, Luke Jurdy. How are you, mate?
I'm all right, mate. Thank you. Yes, I'm Luke Jurdy, at Luke Jurdy on social media. And yeah, like you, Rich, just almost just despairing at the lack of movement to my rank. I don't even know what the trick is anymore to FPL. I've no idea what gets a green arrow at the moment because no player seems to be performing. I said to you yesterday, to you two, I said, it's not even like there's a player where I think, Wes, it's because I haven't had him in. You can't even pinpoint it because week by week, there's different people scoring highly. You know, this week, it seems like the difference between a tiny green arrow and a big red arrow was John Stones, to quote Randy Shafter. Luckily, I had John Stones. But yeah, like it's really weird. This does tend to happen as well before a blank game week because you're bringing in players that perhaps you wouldn't normally bring in purely because they play in the blank. And then obviously you get there and then you can't wait to get rid of them really because quite often they're not the players that you would have been bringing in anyway.
Mm.
So, I mean, you know, Kelechi and Iheanacho scored a hat-trick at the weekend.
I couldn't believe it.
We can't predict this. We cannot predict this.
That's as many goals as he had all season in one match.
Yeah.
And I said on the last podcast, he's absolutely woeful. And then he went and scored a hat-trick in the Premier League.
Yeah, it makes no sense. So I'll dive in. I got 49 this week. If Salah had just stayed onside before he scored that goal, I would have had a big green arrow. I think it would have made a nice difference having Salah captain because obviously I went with Salah captain in the end, and the other captain choices for the game week: Kane, Fernandez, De Bruyne. De Bruyne didn't even play, all blanked. So it was down to Salah on Monday night, and he came close on a couple of occasions. So again, it was one of those weeks where very, very close to getting a decent green arrow. As it was, I've got a very, very small green arrow. I think I've gone up by about 5,000 places, something like that. No, sorry, less than
still,
that.
Still?
I've gone up by about 800 places.
But that's still amazing that you went up with that score because it's above the average, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But 49. So I brought in Pascal Gross of Brighton. And he got an assist. Pascal Gross was my top scoring midfielder this week. My top scoring forward as well this week with 5 glorious points. 0.4% selected. it paid off. And he nearly scored as well. And I had a feeling, didn't I? I kept saying Brighton are going to finally get a performance out. They're going to put a performance together. and they finally did. They won 2-1. They were hanging on a little bit towards the end, but they could have had more goals, as always. And their attack still looks good. And you said, Rich, you heard him. Were you listening on the radio or commentating on it or something? And Gross sounded like he had a good game.
Yeah, I was listening. I was driving back to London from Liverpool after doing some work. And yeah, everything that was going through Brighton was going through Pascal Gross. And I don't think he was starting at the beginning of the season. I don't think he was being chosen by Graham Potter.
No,
but
he wasn't.
You know, over the last few weeks, they've really started to up their game in terms of shots. Anyway, they've not necessarily been getting the results going their way, but He's always been creative. Even when he was in Germany, he was playing for Ingolstadt in the Bundesliga, and he was one of the highest assistant players in the Bundesliga that season. I think it was only Robin, I might be right in saying, got more assists than him the season before he joined Brighton in the Bundesliga. So he's got it in his locker, but I think maybe he's just lacking in other areas. But yeah, he had a good game, and quite rightly they got the win over Southampton.
He had a phenomenal season 2 seasons ago. He's one of the top scoring midfielders, and then kind of went off the boil last season. But his minutes have gone down a lot. So he's still got it in him. And I had a little look at the stats, as I do. And he was creating the most chances in the Brighton team. And I was close to putting Trossard in, who of course got his goal, because Trossard was having the most shots, but Gross was creating the most chances. And I thought, really, I think I'm going to play it a bit safer. I knew Gross was on set pieces. He might be on penalties as well. I know he missed one the other week, but he might have got the penalties back. So I thought, if anybody's going to get an assist, it's Gross, and that a few others might score the goals. But so as it was, he got his assist, and he was close to scoring a goal as well. So I'm happy with the pick and confident going into that Newcastle game that Brighton can get something out of that as well. So finally, a differential that has paid off a tiny bit. You know, 5 points isn't a lot, but it's better than my other midfielders. Of course, Gundogan didn't play, so that was 0.
Crazy.
I got Bamford off the bench with 1 point, which was a shame, because a lot of other people got like Stuart Dallas off the bench for 6. You know, so that was disappointing. Antonio blanked again. I mean, who knew West Ham would be so insipid against United? Just a painful performance, really. I don't know why they set up like that. It's obvious that if you go for United, you're probably going to nick a goal against us, but they didn't, which, to, you know, I was grateful for. But Moyes really played so defensively in that game.
Yeah.
And it didn't
work.
It's
like he bottled it, and he'd gone back to like his old mindset of,
yeah,
oh, hang on. But this Manchester United this season, or over the last few months, are there for the taking, yeah, like you say. And it's very strange of this West Ham side to just kind of roll over.
Yeah, and it didn't make sense either, because you look at their other games, like against City, where Antonio scored. They beat Spurs, and he scored in that game because they attacked. But maybe they missed Lingard, but then he didn't start Lanzini, he didn't start Fornals, he didn't start Benrahma. So therefore, they were just completely useless going forward. So yeah, and obviously I've got Kane as well, who blanked, Rafinha blanked, Fernandez blanked, Salah blanked. Defence again was where it was half decent. John Stones with his 14, Diaz with a clean sheet. Matt Target and Martinez, 19 points between them, which got snatched away in the 94th minute.
Heartbreaking.
So they went down to 4 and 3. And Matt Target still getting 2 bonus, which was nice to see. And I think, to be honest, if Liverpool, that 1 point clean sheet for Salah made the difference for me, because if Liverpool hadn't kept a clean sheet and he only got 4 instead of 6, I'd have probably ended up with a very small red arrow. So yeah, as it is, treading water yet again. Really not sure how to stop this. Overall rank 122,000. What about you?
Well, I thought I had a red arrow, didn't I? I had a green arrow, so I've gone up 20,000 places, but it's still pretty poor. I'm still like in one of my lowest positions I've been all season. I don't know what to put it onto. I think because I was like the point you're at now, you were kind of in and around the same position for ages, just a red arrow, a green arrow, a red arrow, a green arrow. Whereas I've made some changes to try and bring in differentials, and they've not paid off. So I think that's why I've gone down, you know, a quarter of a million, 300,000, something like that. So that's what's happened. But it was a green arrow this week. So, you know, you've always got to be happy with a green arrow, regardless of how big it is. Unless it's 800, sorry. I've got Martinez in goal. So yeah, like you, 3 points from him. The back line is what delivered for me this game week, actually, which I'm quite happy with, because they've not been too consistent for me this season. Cancelo got me 12. That was very nice of him to pick up an assist and a clean sheet. Maguire 8 points from Harry Maguire, which you love to see. And yes, Stuart Dallison there was 6, and then I have Cresswell with 2. And the interesting thing for me on this game week was that I decided to captain Raheem Sterling. And Raheem Sterling wasn't even in the Manchester City squad, never mind on the bench or whatever. So thankfully I had the vice-captain on Fernandes, who did play, although he did do nothing. So 6 points from Fernandes, getting that little 1 point for the clean sheet, which I'm quite grateful for. I also had Gundogan, who also didn't play, so got 0 from him. But the players who came in were Antonio and Suchek, who I was saving for this blank game week for West Ham. And obviously I wouldn't bring in loads of West Ham assets for the United game, but that's ultimately what ended up happening. So Suchek and Antonio both blanked. Like you said, Bamford went off injured, so I don't know what he's going to be doing for this blank game week. Presumably they'll risk him because they've got no other striker at Leeds. And yeah, Salah with 3, and Watkins got his goal, which was later turned into an own goal, which meant he got an assist. So only 5 points for Watkins, which meant I finished on 50 for the whole game week. And yeah, I'm sat at 952,000, and that dream of finishing in the top 100k seems to be diminishing weekend by weekend by weekend. But whatever, we've just gotta progress and see what we can do now. I feel like I'm in that, you know, when teams reach 40 points and they've achieved the goal of the season. I feel like I've done that. I feel like I'm just coasting for the rest of the season
on
now.
The beach.
Wherever I finish, I'm not that bothered. Yeah, I feel like I'm not bothered now because I'm not going to reach the top 100,000. So I don't know. I'll still try, obviously. Please listen to this podcast and review it.
Yeah, I must admit I've enjoyed the last 2 weeks more because I've picked different captain choices and I've chucked a few differentials in there. I've enjoyed the week a lot more. I loved having Pascal Gross in my team this week. Even before the game started, I was really excited at having a player that was like 0.4%. Yeah. So low owned. I was like, anything that he scores is a bonus because very, very few people have got him. And also the excitement of Monday night after Kane and Fernandes blanked. Obviously, I own them both, so I covered myself in a way. And obviously this week it was more interesting because there wasn't an outstanding captain choice that everyone had gone for. But having Salah and knowing that he was coming Monday night after those blanks again was really exciting because I knew that not many people, a fair few had captained him, don't get me wrong, but he wasn't the most popular captain choice. So again, that made it more exciting for me. And I think I'd much prefer to play the game like that going forward. Obviously still being safe and not having just pure differentials in there, but having the best players still that you think will do well. But just chucking a few odd ones in there that will make a difference, you know. Rafinha, still a differential, really. 13% owned, so not as much as before, but having him in is decent. Antonio is only 13.5% owned. That's probably going to go up as we head into the blank game week. But just players like that I'm enjoying it more, and I'm definitely going to keep up with picking a different captain choice, unless it's like so stupidly obvious that you have to go for one player.
Well, we'll talk about that a little bit because I want to get rid of Sterling, which basically opens up my midfield to any choice for this blank game week. But we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But speaking of good news, the man who always seems to be bringing it over the last few weeks, producer Ben.
Is it still a season of three thirds?
Look, it's still a season of three thirds. I mean, the traditional phrase is season of two halves, but we don't, you know, we've got 10 games to go, lads. No movement this week. 1.4 million is where I am. A few unlucky things, like I've got Martinez and the man with an eye for goal, Ezri Konsa, in my team. So a very, literally 94th minute goal from Newcastle. What on earth? Cost me big. I've got Son. He played, 18 minutes? Something like that, Son. And he came
Did he get off injured?
He's got a 75% chance of playing in the blank game week with a muscle injury, apparently. But yeah, just a few unlucky things happened this week. I've got KDB, obviously didn't play. We talked about that. I've got a dilemma, boys. And this leads us into our first talking point today, which is, of course, the blank game week 29. I'm looking at the fixtures. So we've got Fulham, Leeds. We've got Brighton, Newcastle. We've got West Ham, Arsenal. And we've got Aston Villa, Spurs. I currently have 7 players who are due to play in those fixtures. I've got 2 free transfers So I could make that 9 players who are playing in the blank game week. I could take a minus 8 and field 11 players. I also have the free hit. And I suppose in terms of my rank and where I am at the moment, not many people have got the free hit left. That could be a real boost for me. And I need that boost because my final aim, it's a season of 3/3, is to end up in the top 500k, which I think in 10 game weeks I can still do. Just from the jumps I've seen, I've jumped 600,000 places now in 3 weeks. It's amazing the difference a few weeks can make. My question to you is, with those fixtures that aren't particularly inspiring, to hit or not to hit? Boys, that is the question.
Ugh. I don't know. I mean, my gut says that where you are in the league, if you use your free hit, you'll make a significant jump. Because in my head, the people who are in that top 1 million will be planning ahead more for this blank game week than those outside of it. Do you know what I mean?
There's also been a lot of talk about more fixture movement, hasn't there, towards the back end of the season. Partly to do with fans looking like they can come back. They want fans to be back in for the last 2 games, is it, they've said?
Yeah.
Which could mean some fixture movement, which could mean, I believe, more double game weeks on the horizon. Is that right?
Yes, it is. So I'll talk doubles first and then I'll say what I think you should do, Ben.
Okay.
So basically what I've done, I've gone through every team in the league and I've come up with the teams that have got the best fixtures using Fantasy Football Scout, of course, as I always do, and a bit of my own opinion, to form who's got the best fixtures from game week 31 onwards, basically. And 2 teams that will definitely have a double game week are Everton and Villa. Now, Everton and Villa, according to Ben Krellin, their double game week will most likely be game week 35 or game week 37. Don't know who else they'll be playing then. I think you can probably look it up who they've got on 35 and 37. It most likely won't be game week 30 anymore, and it's unlikely to be 31, which is what we initially thought, which is interesting when it comes to wildcard planning, which we'll talk about. So there are double game weeks to come is basically the short answer to that question. I think also Spurs have to play Southampton as well. So they will possibly have a double as well, which might be in the game week 32. So Spurs and Southampton, obviously we're probably not interested in Southampton players, but Spurs will probably have a double in 32 as well. If I was you, Ben, if you've got 7 players for this game week, same as me, and I've only got 1 free transfer, I'm planning to take a hit to get to 9. I'll possibly take another hit to get to 10. I'm not going to take more than a minus 8. So I don't think there's any need for you to play your free hit yet. I think you can save it. Save it. Maybe yes. Even play it on the last game week of the season and really get that rank up on that last game. I don't think yes. You're going to gain much from playing it this week.
I agree. I mean, just quickly looking at the fixtures for this week, Fulham and Leeds, I can see that being quite a flat game. Fulham have not been conceding. Leeds haven't necessarily been scoring. I can see that being a flat game. Brighton, Newcastle, same thing. I don't think we're going to see huge amounts of goals in that game. I also think West Ham, Arsenal at West Ham could be quite a flat game. I don't think there's going to be loads of points. The only fixture I am really interested in is Aston Villa and Tottenham. The reason I say that is because there's always goals in that game, unfortunately, usually from Tottenham. But looking at the results from the Villa-Tottenham games, so we played them in February 2020, 3-2 Tottenham. Before that, 3-1 Tottenham. Before that, 2-0, unfortunately, Tottenham. Before that, 3-1 Tottenham. Villa beat them 1-0 on the Saturday, the 11th of April, 2015. We are the mighty Aston Villa and Ross at Wembley. But that's the only game that I think there's going to be big points in. When it comes to playing the free hit, obviously it's all about the final rank. But I suppose it is that kind of like mental thing of, Rich, what you were saying about it would be nice to take a jump now. Like in your mini league, in terms of overall rank, it would be really nice to take a jump. But it's not about that, is it? It doesn't matter what happens in game week 29. It's about what happens at the end of game week 38.
Yeah, and I don't think you will make much of a jump from doing a free hit, because the chances are you're going to have a lot of the players, the same players that everybody else has got, but you'll maybe have one or two more. So that's not going to be a huge gain. And if you've got two free transfers as well, so you can already get to nine players for free. And then if you look at a hit, if you're obviously going to take a player out that is going to score you zero, so a hit then becomes a minus two rather than a minus four if the player plays 60 minutes and all that kind of stuff. So if they return, obviously it's much easier to get a return from that player. It's much easier to get a profit from a hit. You have to see your hits as a minus two this week rather than a minus four, because obviously you're taking a player out that isn't going to play, so they're going to score you zero. So, you know, and you've got Kane and Son. So yeah. If you want Bale as well, just do Salah. Have you got Salah? You've got a higher priced midfielder. Bring Bale in, then you've got all three. Then it's covered, isn't it?
In terms of my midfielders, I've got Son, I've got De Bruyne, and I've got Fernandes. In fact, I think the midfield, though, is where I'm going to look at making my change this week. Can I make a little prediction here?
Go for it.
I think Jack Grealish is going to be back against Tottenham.
Oh, Mystic Ben.
The last time that Jack Grealish came back from a big injury was when we won 10 games on the bounce, which took us up to the Premier League. There are 10 games left in this season. I think Jack Grealish is back this weekend, and I think I might take the gamble and bring in Grealish in the hope that he starts. Because as soon as Grealish is back, that Aston Villa team are clicking again. There was a lot of interest from Spurs in him last summer, and obviously the United interest, but Spurs have been sniffing around Grealish for a while. I can just see Jack Grealish coming back and absolutely setting that game on fire at the weekend.
Will we get any indication that he's fit or not?
He's basically, for the last few weeks, it's been, he's nearly back. He's been out for a month now, but there was talk potentially he'd come back against Newcastle. Obviously he didn't, but I think, I don't know, it's just from, obviously I'm a Villa fan, so I read a lot of Villa fan stuff, and it just feels like he's coming back.
Okay.
Problem is, you don't want to take a risk. You don't want to take a risk before a blank game week, because if he's not back, you've just spent a transfer on somebody that isn't going to play, and you haven't got a full complement of players anyway. If you had someone on the bench to come on, then it would be worth the risk. But I think you've got to wait for news on Grealish. You can't just gamble that a player's going to be back and starting.
But that's the sort of gamble which I love you making, Ben, because you're the guy who's brave enough to do this sort of mental stuff. Why don't I put Van Dijk in as well? Who knows? he could be back for Liverpool.
No, but do you know what? He's currently, I've had a look, Grealish is still 18% owned, which I think is, you know, surprising. He's been out for 4 weeks now. Mental. Still 18% owned.
Yeah, because of all the teams, won't it?
But I think it is one of the... Aren't those the kind of gambles? Because it's an informed gamble. We know that he's coming back soon. We know that Villa absolutely need him to be back on the pitch. So they won't leave, you know, it's not like United or City where they can go, you know, we'll give him another week. Dean Smith absolutely needs Jack Grealish back on that pitch. Aren't they the kind of gambles you need to make with 10 games to go?
Yeah,
they are. But I'd be very surprised. I'd be very surprised if Grealish is back before the international break as well. You go, don't bring him back. Yeah, rest him again. And he's got a whole international break to recover. Then come back flying for those last nine games.
I think if you're Dean Smith as well, like his objective for the season probably would have at best been to finish mid-table. And he's achieved that. So is he really going to gamble his best player to try and push on to get you into those final European places? I don't know. I think it'd be quite a naive thing to do.
And and they are playing Spurs, who have conceded three goals in their last five games. Sorry, yeah, two goals in. Yeah. They've got a good defensive record, is what I'm trying to say. They don't concede too many. So it's not like Grealish is going to come back and, you know, score two goals. I don't know. To me, it is a gamble, but it's not the kind of gamble that I think is worth taking. No, I think there's other players that you can gamble on this game week.
All right. Well, I'm not interested in any fixtures this week then, so I'm definitely not playing Mark because every fixture is dull. every fixture is boring.
I think so. I think at the moment, I really like Tierney from Arsenal, but you have to play the fixtures. I like Tierney from Arsenal, but I don't think they'll keep a clean sheet against West Ham. I think the game against United was a bit of an anomaly. Lingard will be back. They'll probably start Benrahma. And I think attacking-wise, West Ham, I think Lingard's still worth investing in for this fixture. I like Brighton defenders against Newcastle. You know, Newcastle still without Sam Maximan, still without Almiron, still without Callum Wilson. They haven't really got much going forward at all. If it's any time for Brighton to keep a clean sheet, surely it's now. So Veltman, I'm very interested in at 4 point. I think he's still 4.3 million because he's got that attacking threat as well. It's a Brighton defence. But yeah, I agree with Rich. I'd even be tempted to stick a Fulham defender in there. I know Leeds are good in quotation marks on the attack, but they haven't been recently, have they? And Fulham have been so solid at the back. Obviously, they conceded three against City, but that's Man City. You know, Fulham, and they looked pretty solid up until conceding that goal. Leeds haven't scored in three games. So, you know, it might be the perfect time for them to actually get it together. They are due, which is why, you know, I've got Rafinha and Bamford. But I think Rich is right. I think defenders are probably going to be the ones to get in this game week. But even then, they're not exactly that appealing, are they? These fixtures aren't that appealing, let's be honest. I think the average is going to be low. There's no point in, like, rushing to get loads of attackers in your team and then messing your team up for the week after.
The one question I have about this game week is that Bamford could well be out for Leeds. Because
could be out for Spurs as well.
Well, that's it. I mean, we don't know the severity of these injuries yet. Obviously, we're recording this at the beginning of the week and the deadline's not till Friday. But we might find out more by then. But because it's still a yellow triangle above his name, would you risk leaving him in your team? Because at the moment, I've got all three strikers are due to play in this game week. Bamford, Watkins and Antonio. But I kind of want to get Mope in from Brighton. Would you risk taking Bamford out? Because he's probably going to start, isn't he, if he's fit for Leeds?
Yeah, I wouldn't take him out. Have you got three strikers that are already playing, have you, in blank?
Yeah, Watkins, Antonio and Bamford.
Right, yeah, I'd bring someone different in. Unless we get news that Bamford's definitely out, then of course, yeah, why not?
Maybe Trossard.
Yeah, so you're all coming round to the Brighton shout now, aren't you?
I really am. They're brilliant. All of a sudden, they're more like Barcelona than Brighton.
Yeah, we've got to wait for news. I don't own Son at the moment, but I could potentially bring him in. I think I'll either bring in Son or Bale probably for that game against Aston Villa. So you just got to wait for news on Son and Bamford. And then obviously, if they're out, you've got a decision to make. If they're not, then happy days. But yeah, I think because Spurs then play Newcastle. So decent fixture in game week 30 for them as well. But yeah, I think overall, like we keep saying, I don't think there's any real need to get too excited about this blank game week. Expect there to be a fairly low average. And I wouldn't advise, I know the hits are only a -2 rather than a -4 if the player that you bring in plays. But have a real long think about whether that player you bring in is going to return or not. Because if they don't return, it is still a -2. So sometimes it might actually be better to just keep the player in that's got zero. I'll probably go in with 9, to be honest, rather than 10 this game week.
I'm thinking maybe in the next game week I'll use my wild card, my second wild card. And I can't be the only person thinking that.
No, which brings us on nicely, really, to our next talking point is the wild card. I'm the exact same. I think a lot of people are in the same boat as us. We're probably going to wild card in either game week 30 or game week 31. Now, the advantages to wild carding in 30 is that you'll probably be ahead of the game of a few people because quite a lot of the players from blank game week 29 will have got decent fixtures in game week 30. So it's maybe not necessary to wild card straight away. For instance, Aston Villa in 30 have got Fulham at home. Tottenham have got Newcastle away. Leeds have got Sheffield United. And West Ham have got Wolves. So they've all got nice fixtures. Brighton haven't. Brighton have got Man United, I think. So a little bit trickier there, but you could bench You could bench your Brighton assets. So I think I'm most likely going to wildcard in game week 30 in game week 31. do you want me to run down the teams that have got the best fixtures from 31 to the end of the season?
Go on, that would be nice. That would help.
Okay, so first team, best fixtures from game week 31 to 35 are Wolves.
Oh.
Now, Wolves are an interesting proposition.
They're so unattractive in Premier League and FPL. They're just so... what do they do? They offer nothing.
I know, but Rich, they've got Fulham, Sheffield United, Burnley, West Brom and Brighton. You can't get better fixtures than that, can you? And then it gets trickier from 36 to 38.
They're all going to be 0-0 or 1-0, 100%.
Yeah. So get their defenders in then. I think I'm definitely interested in a Wolves defender. And Pedro Neto. Pedro Neto's has had a good season. He could be a decent option for those fixtures. I really want to attack the fixtures for these final game weeks. I think if a team's got good fixtures, get on them. So Wolves have got the best, but yeah, might be unattractive. There's pros and cons to Wolves, isn't there? Another con to Wolves, have they got anything to play for? They're 13th. They're about, I think they lost yesterday, so that might have changed, but they've not really got anything to play for, but they want to secure safety, like definite safety. And I think they're about 10 or 12 points off the European places. So again, yeah, there's an element there. Have they got enough to play for? I don't know. So there's pros and cons to Wolves. Arsenal, another one. Arsenal have got lovely fixtures to finish off the season, probably the best in the league from 31 to the end. So they've got Sheffield United, Fulham, Everton, Newcastle, West Brom, Chelsea, Palace and Brighton. Really lovely fixtures to finish off.
Yeah, good.
And they've got an outside chance of Europe still. They're only 4 points off Spurs because they just beat them. So they've got something to play for. Arteta might be prioritising the Europa League. But there's a few options in there, isn't there, for Arsenal? You've got Saka, Smith Rowe, Odegaard coming to the fore now. Tierney, I really, really like. Tierney will almost certainly come in for me on the wild card because he's got that attacking potential and those fixtures really appeal. What about for you with Arsenal? Does anyone kind of stick out?
Well, Lacazette always seems to pop up with a goal here and there, but the man who we've not really given much praise this season is Aubameyang, but we know from years gone by that he does tend to get close to 20 goals every season. So maybe with these great fixtures...
He's starting on the bench. He keeps starting on the bench.
There was a disciplinary issue, apparently, where he broke protocol or something. So Arteta said, you're not playing.
Wasn't he late for a meeting? Something stupid like that, I heard. That
yeah,
he
I don't...
A meeting. Like,
I don't actually know.
Yeah.
But if he presumably gets back into this team, which I'd imagine he will, because isn't he... Is he captain? Who's the Arsenal captain?
It was Xhaka, wasn't it? I don't know whether it's changed, but...
Was it? Jesus, Arsenal are in pieces,
yeah,
aren't
they? But they looked good. They looked good against Spurs, didn't they? They played really well.
He is. Aubameyang is club captain, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was. Yeah, you think he would eventually get back into the starting 11, considering he's been the top scorer for the last few years. But, like you say, Tierney, for me, he's by far and away the best choice. I think Bellerin's still out injured, isn't he? Because he's got pretty good attacking... mindset as well, but Tierney by far and away is the guy you've got to be picking in this, or maybe Saka if you want a bit of a discount midfielder,
or if you need to save money, Smith Rowe could be a great fifth option at four. I think he's like 4.2 million now.
I've had him for a few weeks, yeah, and he's stunning. He's you know, 4.2 million, and in terms of he's not returned the last few. His price is more attractive than his returns. The biggest return he's had is in game week 17 when Arsenal beat West Brom 4-0 and he got himself 2 assists in that game. The last few weeks, he got 2 points, no points, 1 point, 1 point, 5 points against Leeds. But again, that's when Arsenal are absolutely smashing home the goals.
Yeah, for a 4.2 million midfielder, though, if you want someone to sit on the bench, perfect. Just make sure you bench him. You know, don't be playing him every week. Yeah, good. So I think that covers Arsenal. Yeah, we both really like Tierney and a few other options there. Leicester are another one. Good fixtures up until game week 36. And of course, Leicester have a lot to play for. This is important now at the end of the season as well. Which teams have still got things to play for? Leicester, great example of that, because they want to secure Champions League football. They will have hoped to have secured Champions League football by the time they get to game week 36, because their last three fixtures are United, Chelsea and Spurs. But leading up to that, they've got West Ham, West Brom, Palace, Southampton, Newcastle. So if Maddison and Barnes get back fit, I'll be looking to bring one of them straight in. I mean, should we be considering Iheanacho now? Obviously, it's Iheanacho and Vardy are the main options going forward at the moment. And we have to take the Sheffield United win with a little bit of a pinch of salt because Chris Wilder had just left. Sheffield United were just woeful. You know, I think anyone could have turned them over 5-0. But Leicester looked brilliant going forward. 19 shots, 10 shots on target. Iheanacho hat-trick. Vardy a hat-trick of assists. Should we be thinking about Iheanacho at 5.6 million?
Yeah. No, you shouldn't. He's awful.
he scored a hat-trick
in the Premier League. So I can see why you're coming up with that thought. Yeah, I know. But if they were up against any competent Premier League team, they wouldn't have won that game 5-0. They just look lost without Maddison against normal teams. Obviously, this is Sheffield United and they're not the worst team now, I don't think, in the history of the Premier League, are they? But, you know, the bottom of the table still for a reason.
He scored 5 in his last 3 games.
But how many has he scored before that?
Before that, not so many.
Yeah, exactly.
He hasn't really had the minutes.
No, true.
He hasn't really been playing. I just think at 5.6 million, maybe he's worth a punt. But then you're right, I'm falling into that trap of a striker's just scored a hat-trick. You must get them in your team. And we know from experience, Teemu Pukki, people like that,
yeah,
it's not actually always the case. And you're right, it's maybe keep an eye on him rather than, but that's why we've got the perfect length of time now before we're wildcarding. You know, we can watch him in 30,
yeah,
we can see in 31 perhaps, and then maybe bring him in. But you know, if he plays really, really well in game week 30 against Man City, I'll definitely consider bringing him in on my wildcard. But that fixture runs really, really nice.
Yeah, have they changed their system by any chance? Obviously, they've not got Barnes or Maddison, so I didn't see the Leicester game. Have they changed their style of play, their formation, something like that, to accommodate two strikers?
I think they were playing a 3-5-2 with wing-backs, with Castagna and Pereira, and then they had Soyuncu, Evans and Fofana across the back.
Oh, right, OK.
I might be wrong, but I think that's what they were playing.
Yeah.
And then three across the midfield. And then Vardy and Iheanacho up front. Vardy and Iheanacho are really working well together. But again, yeah, you're right. It's a caveat. It was Sheffield United. Again, ones to consider.
Yeah, I mean, if a striker's in good form, you should usually get them in. But because he's not been in good form at all season. By the way, Teemu Pukki, he's flying in the Championship. I think he's the top scorer. So, no, next season.
Got to keep an eye on him for next season. Got to keep an eye on him for next season. There'll be a lot of people bringing him in at the start, I'd imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Liverpool as well. Liverpool have a really, really good run in. Now, I know they haven't been the best, but do we think they're going to get back on track now after that win against Wolves? They looked a little bit better last night. Is Jota a really good differential for this run in?
I was thinking that. I think Jota could be a great shout. It just depends, I guess, on his match fitness because he's been out for some time now, hasn't he? I don't know if he played in the Champions League, but he's been out for some time, and I know he's rotated the likes of Origi and Shaqiri and stuff into the team as well. So, you know, there's still a lot of players who could play in that position ahead of Jota. But I don't know, maybe with him being back, that will make Mane and Salah pull up the socks a little bit, because all of a sudden there's another player who can replace them in those positions. But I don't know. I think Liverpool could be on for a good run, because they're not going to be, you know, as poor as they've been for the last month for the rest of the season. They're always going to improve. Although I wouldn't be rushing to get in Alexander-Arnold or Robertson. Who, I haven't said Alexander-Arnold's name in so long. I just realised he's just not been considered.
Well, you know what?
Oh, go on.
I was
here
just
we
about
go.
To say What's it. Dare say? I say it? Is Trent Alexander-Arnold an option again? They've got Villa, Leeds, Newcastle, Man United, Southampton, West Brom, Burnley and Palace. Really, really good run in. They badly need wins, don't they? They're only 5 points off fourth now that they've beaten Wolves. So if they put a run together, they could still get Champions League football. And Trent looked good again last night. He got 3 bonus points, kept a clean sheet. He was creating chances. He's an example of somebody proven, consistent, not many people own him. Could be a good differential for the coming game weeks. I don't think I'll risk it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that they've still got, you know, Phillips and Kabak at centre-back, and Wolves aren't the best going forward anyway, are they? So it'll be interesting to see how they do against the likes of Villa and Leeds in the next few games, who have got a bit more about them going forward. But I think I probably will have Salah still on the wild card for that run in.
Yeah, he's a lot of money, but you just know he can deliver at any point and, you know, get a goal or two here or there to help boost you up. And he's still massively highly owned, presumably Mo Salah. Like, he always is every season one of the best players. And yeah, he's still 31% owned.
That's got to be the lowest. Like, Salah, that's got to be his lowest ownership ever as a Liverpool player, isn't it?
I think it probably is. I mean, he's certainly lower than normal, and which is exactly the time to stick with him, really, isn't it? To boost that rank again. If he'd have scored last night, my rank would have really improved, I think. I mean, my rank improved by about 10,000 places just because he got 3 points captaining him. So I think, yeah, it would have. He's going to be a good option, I think, with those fixtures, if Liverpool can put a run together, which I think they can. I think they can. Chelsea, we're all going to have a defender from Chelsea, aren't we, Rich, on our wild cards?
I would like to get a Chelsea player in, and definitely a defensive one. Obviously, I had Mendy, took him out, and now he's getting clean sheets every game week, obviously, as this season's gone. There's still the rotation risk, isn't there, of the Chelsea defenders for Thomas Tuchel? Because I really like the look of Reece James, but he doesn't play every week. I think Azpilicueta is one of the nailed-on players, but he doesn't really offer much attacking-wise. So it's just who to pick again, Chilwell or go Lonzo, or slow Lonzo, as he is when he doesn't play very well. I don't know, there's options, and I feel like it's, you know, another rotation risk, just like at Manchester City with their defence.
Yeah, I agree with you, which is probably why I will go with Mendy over Martinez on my wild card.
The man.
The reason being is fixtures. Villa have got Liverpool, Man City, West Brom, obviously it's a little bit easier, Everton, United, Palace, Spurs, Chelsea, and then an Everton again, because they've got that double game week. They are very tricky compared to Chelsea, who from game week 30 have got West Brom, Crystal Palace, Brighton, West Ham and Fulham. Then they've got City, Arsenal, Leicester and Villa to finish. So a bit trickier to finish, but you've got to expect Mendy to score more points than Martinez, haven't you, in that run in? Ben, what do you think in terms of Villa's fixtures? Do you think you'll still keep more clean sheets than Chelsea in that time?
I think that Emi Martinez is one of the best goalkeepers the Premier League has ever seen. In terms of an FPL asset, even if we don't keep the clean sheet, he's coming through with bonus points, he's coming through with save points. Like, he can get absolutely peppered. And in the 90th minute, he looks just as sprightly. I mean, yeah, not against Newcastle, but just as sprightly as he did in the first. I think he's a set and forget keeper now for me. Like,
but answer the question, right? The question was, are Villa going to keep more clean sheets than Chelsea from game week 30 to the end of the season? No.
It's obviously a no. There's the little Villa, the little Villa angel on his shoulder going,
I know,
say no.
I know.
Say
no.
But man, you know, in 35, Man City are going to score past Chelsea. In 36, Arsenal are going to score past Chelsea. In 37, Leicester will score past Chelsea. And then Aston Villa are going to absolutely batter them in game week 38. So,
yeah, but are they? Are Arsenal and Leicester going to score against Chelsea? They keep keeping clean sheets against the big teams as well. Yeah, Man City will probably beat them. But at the moment, who's going to score against them?
No, you are right. I did see a stat that Mendy's now got more clean sheets than games where he's conceded for Chelsea. Did you see that unbelievable stat about John Stones and Ruben Dias's partnership that came out this week after John Stones scored his goal? That
they've scored more than conceded.
They conceded. What on earth is that? Has that ever happened before? Wow.
Mad. So, yeah, I think... Yeah, there's a potential to go Mendy over Martinez. But obviously you do it at your own peril, because if Villa do keep a clean sheet, chances are Martinez is going to get 3 bonus and save points as well. Whereas Mendy's probably only going to get your 6 or your 7, you'd imagine, if Chelsea keep the clean sheet. But if I think as it looks like on my wild card, I'll probably be able to afford two playing keepers. So if I can keep Martinez and have Mendy, then maybe I'll have both and play Martinez when I need to, in terms of if Villa have a good fixture. But I'm definitely looking at Mendy. Reason being is exactly what Rich said, that the Chelsea defenders are are getting rotated a little bit too much to trust anyone. But I do want a Chelsea defender for that run in. I also want Luke Shaw from United. Yeah, I think he just looks brilliant now, and United's fixtures are a bit more of a mixed bag, but decent enough. And they need to secure second place. So I think I'm probably going to stick with Bruno Fernandes, and I'll almost certainly have Luke Shaw in there. City are an interesting one, aren't they? Because obviously Stones and Diaz are great, and Diaz is the one that plays every game. But once they wrap the league up, is that going to mean that they're rotated even more? I mean, will Diaz even be safe once City wrap the league up?
I think John Stones has delivered this season now. I've got both of them at the moment.
He keeps getting rotated though, doesn't
he? Yeah,
I know he's Diaz performed well, but...
Diaz is the one who will start. I'm going to get rid of Stones, but keep Diaz.
Right, okay. Yeah, that's interesting. I may do the same as well. But remember, City blank in game week 33. So you've got this other issue as well with your wild card, where you don't want more than three players that blank in 33, because obviously you can only bench three. So City blank in 33, I think Spurs blank in 33 as well. So it's worth paying attention to that. I mean, the thing is, Spurs might have a double in 32 and then might blank in 33. So again, all this planning needs to be taken into account. City are so tricky again, aren't they? Because they can go mad. And if you don't own them, it's a problem. But if you do own them, look at this week, Gundogan, De Bruyne benched. Sterling wasn't even in the squad. So even De Bruyne now isn't completely safe to play every game. So is it worth having any of them in? Diaz is probably the only one that's safe, isn't he? But then you don't want to miss out on a Stones 15-pointer or a Cancelo 12-pointer.
That's it. That's what keeps me up at night, because Manchester City are so, so good. And I feel like you need to have players from the best teams. But the risk of having the players from the best teams is that they could get rotated. And it's just trying to find the balance. And if you've got loads of City players and loads of Chelsea players, all of a sudden you could have six players not playing in your game week if you've got a triple of both sides. Like, I don't have three Fulham players because they play the same 11 each week, because they're not going to score, you know, as highly as possibly the Chelsea players. But then another week they could, because they're guaranteed to start every weekend and the Chelsea players aren't. I don't know. I give up.
Captains for blank game week 20. We haven't discussed captains. It's probably going to be an interesting choice. So who are we bringing in first of all for blank game week 29, and who are we going to captain? Ben?
I'm going to take a -4. I'm going to take out Big Mick Keane, John Stones and Jorginho, and I'm going to bring in Dallas, Dunk and Rafinha for a -4. I'm going to captain Antonio.
Ooh.
Against Arsenal. The reason I'm going to captain Antonio is, looking back, he scores big points against big teams. 8 points against Leicester, 6 points against Arsenal beforehand, 9 points against West Brom. But in the last few weeks, he scored 2 and 2. But before that, Man City, 6 points, because he got his goal against Man City. And he also got a goal against Spurs. I think Antonio... I'm not captaining a Tottenham player against Villa. I'm just not doing it. I want to enjoy the game.
Oh dear, brilliant, brilliant. I mean, I enjoyed the United game more having captain Ruben Diaz. I loved it. Because obviously we beat them, and if City had kept a clean sheet, there would have been like a tiny, tiny silver lining, wouldn't there? But I enjoyed it more captaining Diaz.
If I wasn't a Villa fan, I'd say probably stick it on Kane.
Yeah. I think they're really solid moves, by the way, Ben. I think they're really solid transfers to get you to 10 players, will it, for a -4?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the way to play it, rather than a free hit. What about you, Rich?
Like Ben, I'm also going to take a -4. I'm thinking, after our discussions about Fulham, that I'm going to bring in Darabayo, centre-back for Fulham. Starts pretty much every game against Leeds, who aren't scoring at all, with the mindset that I'm going to do my wild card the week after. And I'm also going to bring in Trossard from Brighton. He's only 5.7. Scored last week. Brighton having lots of shots. They play Newcastle. You'd like to think they'll have a lot more shots in that game as well. So I think I'm probably going to put the captain's armband on him as well. Why the hell not? Captain in a Brighton player. Madder things have happened this season.
What is going on? But you know what, Rich? I'm seriously considering captaining Pascal Gross against Newcastle as well. I need to just check a few things, but yeah, I'm interested in him. Obviously, Kane's the obvious choice here against Aston Villa, but I'm not going to make the obvious choice. I also like Antonio as a shout. I may consider him against Arsenal. West Ham need to get back to winning ways, and they've got a lot to play for. Jesse Lingard will be back. In terms of transfers, I think I'm probably going to bring in Veltman from Brighton. Against Newcastle. I like Tierney as well, but I don't think Arsenal keep a clean sheet against West Ham. And these are kind of 1 or 2 week punts now for me. And that's what you got to think. And it's same for Rich bringing in Trossard. It's a 1 or 2 week punt because then we're going to play our wild card. So I don't mind having someone like Veltman for this game. Also thinking about maybe getting rid of Gundogan for Lingard. And then my only other consideration would be to bring in Gareth Bale or Son. But not sure. I've only got one free transfer, so whether I'll take a -4 or -8, I need to decide. And yeah, captain could be anyone. I might captain Rafinha against Fulham. I might captain Antonio. I might captain Bale. I might captain Gross. We're going to see what happens. But that's the excitement.
Such a weird list.
So make your transfers, make your captain, and enjoy blank game week 29. And then enjoy the rest. Enjoy the international break rest. We'll probably be back just before game week 30, probably after the international break has done, so we can talk about injuries or anything like that that comes to mind. So yeah, in the words of Randy Shafter, it's now decided to call in a team of excavators to tunnel me a new and sabotage my chances of any points in game week 29.
What an end.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Give Me Some Good News with Nathan Caton.
Hello and welcome to Give Me Some Good News, the podcast that brings a bit of positivity and optimism to your life while the mainstream media is full of doom and gloom.
He's stand-up comedian Nathan Caton and I'm radio presenter Rich Wolfenden. And every week we ask a comedian to come on the podcast and give us some good news, whether it's something that they've spotted that's made them smile or a bit of good news from their own lives.
So far we've had some amazing comedians on the podcast like Jason Manford, Russell Kane, Joe Caulfield, Dane Baptiste, Joe Lycett, Richard Herring, Jade Adams and Ed Gamble. And we've got loads more great guests lined up. Which in itself is good news because it looks like we might be in this mess for a while longer yet.
So if you've had enough of bad news every time you turn on the TV, then give our podcast a go. We release a brand new episode every Monday morning.
Search for Give Me Some Good News now, hit subscribe and forget about the doom and gloom for 20 minutes. And don't forget, although it might not always feel like it, there's still some good news out there.
Give Me Some Good News with Nathan Caton. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.